It's Angelina. Welcome back to another study break episode. I'm here with Allie.
Hi, I'm Allie. I am currently a high school senior in Ca San Diego, California, and I met Angelina in volleyball, I think, in like sixth or seventh grade when we're like still teeny tiny kids. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have Allie on. I love her personality, so it's definitely going to be a fun episode. But today specifically, we're going to be talking about Allie's experience moving to the US as a fifth grader. So just jumping right into it, tell us about your story. Like, how did your family end up in the US?
So since I was like first like elementary school, I went to this boarding school and we're like bilingual. Like the class I was in was like a bilingual class that we have like American teachers for English classes. And some of my parents' friends' kids also go to school, and then some of their kids like went to study abroad in the US for like middle school, like high school, whatever. And then they were like, my dad was like, oh, we should move too. So we kind of just moved. Like it wasn't like, I know a lot of my friends, like their parents would tell them like in second grade or whatever, like they're like, oh, we will move when you're like in middle school or whatever. But then our family was just kind of like, it was a quick process that like I think my parents told me at the end of fourth grade, and then we just moved at the end of fifth grade. It was like 1 year, so it was really a quick process for us.
Yeah, definitely. That must have been kind of sudden. Like, how did you feel about that? Were you reluctant to leave China?
Honestly, at the time, I didn't like feel anything. Like when we got on the plane to the US for the first time, well, not for the first time because we traveled here before, but like when we officially moved, I just thought that it was like a normal trip with like more luggages or whatever. Like I didn't really feel it to be like really real. But then after I like go to school here and stuff, like things start to get real.
Yeah, for sure. So, speaking of school, like once you started adjusting and like you were in that process, did you face any like culture shocks or any other obstacles?
Yeah, definitely. 'Cause I went to boarding school, so like we like live together, study together, like everything is together for like the same 36 people. And like especially how like the US and Chinese culture is different, how China's more like collectivist and then US is more like on that individual side. I moved and then I realized like people don't really like, the first thing I realized was that people don't necessarily eat lunch with the same kids in their class, and I was like, whoa. Because I just assumed like people in the same class would be like closer. But then the first day I realized how like those people are only in the same classroom when they're like in the classroom, and then like during recess or whatever, like people get to their own friend groups. And it was like kind of hard to adjust at first, because I realized most of the friend groups, they like grew up together since like first day or like pre-K or whatever. So, but there was this girl in my class that like she kind of brought me into her friend group, and so it wasn't that tough, but it was still kind of a rough process. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Making friends in like such a new environment is difficult for sure. So, do you have any advice to people who might be going through the same thing, like going to a new school or just like in a new entire country? Like how should they try to make new friends?
I would say that to like maybe use like your interest or like your hobby to like find people that share similar interests. 'Cause I remember when I first moved here, there was this one day, like, 'cause I learned Rubik's Cubes like in China, and there was just one day, 'cause I was like telling my mom I'm like lonely in school or whatever, and then she's like, just bring your Rubik's Cube and like play like whenever like you don't feel like talking to people. And I was just sitting there solving it, and then like suddenly like 10 people like was like around me like trying to like, but they're like, whoa, you're so good at this and stuff. And also I played clarinet since second grade, and in a school here, everyone started like in fifth grade. So in band, I was also kind of like, everyone was like, whoa, you're so good. So that kind of got my like confidence back, and also like finding friends that like, you know, we share the same interests and how like everyone have like the same topic to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great advice. And definitely, I think putting yourself out there and trying to like go into new hobbies, like you'll naturally find your group of people and like people who share the same interests as you. So, yeah. Okay, let's move on to a slightly different topic. So, comparing the US and China, what differences have you noticed specifically in terms of school?
In terms of school, definitely, because in China, as I don't know, a lot of people know that they have like the college entrance exam and whatever. So like everyone's studying like academic life. Before that, I was kind of trying to focusing on their like grades and like test scores to get to that point in their life. And so our like classes were kind of just scheduled the same for everyone. Like the whole day, they'll be like this class, that class. It's not like in the US where you get to like choose your like electives and like what level of like English you want to take, what level of like honors something you want to take. And like in high school you have like APs, normal classes, honors. And in China, like not those international schools, just like the local schools, they would just kind of just schedule the students' classes together that like they don't really have any like choices for themselves. Well, except they can choose like STEM or humanities focus, but not like as much like flexibility.
Yeah, definitely. That's a big change. Are there any electives that you have taken in the US that you really enjoyed that you probably wouldn't have had the chance to do in China?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so because I went to like a bilingual school and we were like kind of international and I didn't really experience like the local schools. So I don't really want to comment on that because like I don't know the true difference there.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, for sure. Okay, how about class size? Like you mentioned, most people just like stay in the same class, but you guys have like a set amount of classes, but you can't really choose the level. Like, was it a lot of students back in China? Like, what's the difference?
From my school and like my grade, it was like 36, like 30, like that kind of number in one class. And then I feel like recent years classes have been getting bigger because like I guess schools want to make profit, but also like just there's more people, like population boom or whatever. And in the US, I feel like throughout the years it's pretty consistent that like 30, I don't know, 20s, 30 something kids in the class. And class size, like the numbers wise, it was like pretty average out. China might be a little bigger. And also the class format, I was gonna say that in China, it's like students stay in the same classroom with like the same group of people that like teachers walk in every class from their office. And then in the US, it's how like students go to different classes. Some schools in China do that right now, but not most of the schools. And I remember this joke my APUS teacher said. He was like, I heard like schools in Asia, like teachers move around and stuff. He's like, I'm never gonna teach in Asia because I'm just too lazy and I don't want to move around.
That's so funny. Yeah, when I first heard about it, because my mom grew up in China, so she knows the school system. And like, I heard that teachers jump from, like, the teachers come and go, not the students. I was like so shocked because I'm just used to like trying to like trek across school
Yeah.
and like the 6 minute passing period we have. So yeah, that's something new, definitely. What about social life? Like, what are the differences you see there?
I feel like in China, well, maybe because we're a boarding school or like school are definitely like they're more like again the collectivist nature that like they would be like, oh, we're gonna go to this competition. Now you represent the school, not yourself. And like even if a class competes in like the grade, our teacher would be like, oh, you're representing the class, not yourself. We gotta like work hard or whatever. But then I feel like in the US, there's not that much things about like schools that are like this type of nature, but only except like athletics and stuff. And in the US, I feel like the school spirit overall is not as like a big deal in China. Like there are like ASB events that like they're like, oh, school spirit, like dress up at whatever, like to whatever a football game. But not like most people do that. I feel like only a small group of like popular kids do that or whatever. Not like every single person is like involved in like trying to, you know, become a family in school and all that.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think depending on the school, obviously, but yeah, definitely both of our schools, like it's not super spirited. So would you say that's something you kind of miss from back home?
I wouldn't say like necessarily like miss, I want it right now, but I would say that I definitely would prefer that experience. That's why like when I'm looking at colleges right now, I would also like see schools like USC or like Vandy that are more like school pride is kind of like their big thing. Like they're like a lot of alumni connections and stuff.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Have you seen those pictures where like their football field stands are like filled with like students? That looks so fun. Oh my gosh.
Like in high school, we like half that are like students that actually dress up, and half are just parents like
Yeah.
sitting there.
Yeah, it's gonna be so cool to see like the difference, because to give context, both Allie and I were seniors, so we're gonna be in college next year. But yeah, I had a question I was gonna ask you, but I kind of forgot. Oh, so I like how you mentioned before like the difference between like China being more like you feel like collectivist, and then the US is more like kind of individualistic. So how do you think that's changed like or like shaped your identity or like your goals for the future?
I feel like I definitely like don't like one more than the other, but like I like how both sides add like a layer to my personality that like I would feel that I need to like do my best in a team to like not drag everyone else down and to like make sure that this team worked the best and have like the best result. But also at the same time, I would like focus on myself and, you know, personal growth and like before I really like got into like this individualistic like community, I would be like, oh, what if I do this and like someone else like wouldn't like it, or like someone else would whatever. Like now I just don't really care about others' opinion that much, and I'll like focus more on myself, and I wouldn't like worry that much about like hurting others' feelings before I like say anything. Well, that does not mean like I'm like mean, but like just not worrying too much about like other people, but like focus more on like what I want to do.
Yeah, definitely. And I think in America there's I think a lot more freedom in terms of like what career path you want to go down into, because there's like a lot of different opportunities. So like has your career goal changed from like when you're moving to the US? Like is it different from what you had in mind back then?
I would say that back then I didn't really have like a career path, cause like goal, cause I feel like everyone was like either a teacher, astronaut, or
Yeah.
like scientist or engineer, like not really a lot of like choices. But like after moving to the US, I realized that like by choosing the classes that I take and like the extracurriculars that I participate in, I like discovered like my passion in like communication and like media, like marketing and all that stuff. And also, the thing I realized is that because I have a lot of friends who go to like international school in China, so they're also in like the US college like pathway. I realized that like a lot of them, they would say that like, oh, like half of the girls in my class want to major in like psychology, or like guys are like, I want to major in CS, math, or like engineering or whatever. But I realized that I feel like asking my friends in the US, like rarely any of them have like the same major. They'd be like, oh, I want to major in like psychology, but more like therapy, or like more like theories, or like neuroscience, or just like psychology in general, not like my friends in China that would be like more vague and like kind of like they chose it just because it's like a good major for like girls, or like good major to get money and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's a really interesting difference to see. And I think it's really cool to see how so many people just at our schools like want to do different things in the future, because like I think it brings new perspectives. And then obviously like 10 years down the line, maybe you'll have like a lawyer friend or like a doctor friend and or like a veterinarian friend. So it's super special to see that. But let's try to move on to a slightly different topic. So, food, like, let's talk about the food. I know the school cafeteria food is not the best, but what about just like in general, like the restaurants? Because the US, there's like, it's like a melting pot of different cultures, right? So, there's so many different types of restaurants and different cuisines to try. So, how has your experience been with that?
Yeah, I definitely get the part where you said that US had different like cuisines from different cultures, because I feel like US restaurant that I've like came across on the street or whatever, they'll be like, oh, this is like an Italian restaurant, like in like little Italy, like little Tokyo, like little not Koreatown, whatever. Like they will be having like a cultural like focus and stuff. But in China, I feel like most restaurants are just like a combination of like all the things they can think of. For example, like in the US, like and where we live in San Diego, we often go like Little Italy for like Italian food or whatever. But in China, I feel like I haven't really seen, well, there definitely is some, but like I haven't really came across any like Italian restaurants except like pasta and Pizza Hut that's Italian or whatever. So it's definitely more like cultural in the US, but the US definitely has a lot more like formal restaurants that you go for like, I don't know, before prom, before hookah, like for those formal occasions. But in China, it's more of like just casual food that you grab like on your way or whatever. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Back when I visited China, though, it was really cool to see, like, in the different regions, like, the different cuisines they had. But yeah, what about the food in your cafeteria back in China? Like, was it better than the US?
Oh, my school had a like this is the right like the right you're the bleh, sorry like you're asking the right person for this question. Like my school had really good cafeteria.
Lucky.
We have like buffets for breakfast, lunch, and a dinner, and in the morning we'll have like three different dishes and like bread or like whatever. And lunch we have like eight different dishes and like soup, and we will have like noodles or like dumplings or like I don't know, sometimes like chicken wings or whatever. And dinner also like eight dishes that you can choose from. But in the US it was just pizza or like black bean wrap or like PB&J or I don't know. But the cafeteria at my school in China was definitely better than the school I go to the US.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I'm so jealous. That sounds so good. And obviously everyone's experience in the US is different, but yeah, for like our public schools in our district, the cafeteria food is definitely not the
Oh
best.
yeah, the school I went in China was also like a private school, so that might be why.
Yeah, that's definitely a factor. Okay, now let's talk about diversity. So we mentioned this a little bit before, but like talking about how there's a lot of different cultures, like ethnicities, traditions in the US, whereas in China, it's like there's not as many like different cultures. So, like, how has your exposure to the different perspectives in the US influenced your own perspective?
I feel like it definitely gives me a more like overall like diverse point of view on stuff. 'Cause I remember in China, even though we were like a bilingual, like kind of international school, there was like not many like this is not like racist or like offending anyone, but like we only had like one girl who's like blonde in our whole grade. And then every time we walked past by her, I'd be like, oh my gosh, she's the blonde girl, like or whatever. But now thinking back from like after what I've experienced in the US and like the things I learned in the US, I feel like that's kind of like a bad comment. I kind of feel bad now. But at the time we're just like, oh my gosh, we've never seen like blonde people before. And in the US, I feel like the cultural diversity definitely made myself a more well-rounded person. I don't know how to say this, but I remember seeing like news about like US and China like relationships, and the news in the US would have like a completely different discussion about the event compared to the news in China. And like back in China, I definitely like did not pay that much attention to like political news, but I would know that the news are all like favoring the Chinese point of view. But in the US, I get to see like the different sides of like different events, which kind of like opened me up to like more possibilities in the world, because I wouldn't only be focusing on the things that would like benefit one side or the other.
Yeah, for sure. Having like an open mind and considering like multiple perspectives is important when looking at any issue. Yeah, I definitely agree. And going back to your point about how there was just like one blonde girl at your international school in China, like just for both sides, especially like if you feel kind of like different from everyone else, whether it's like your appearance, your culture, or your religion, it can definitely be hard and like you might feel like an outcast. So definitely keeping that in mind and like having empathy towards these people as or towards like people who might not feel as included in the environment that you're in is super important. So I like how you brought that point up. Okay, we haven't really touched on the language barrier that you might have had from moving to China to the US because you did go to an international school. So did you find any difficulty with that? And if so, how did you improve your English?
So in China, our school, it was called an international school, but the class I was in, it was only like English, like taught material in our English class, not like the other like math or whatever. So I wasn't as immersed in the English like environment as I am right now in the US, obviously. So I thought that I had pretty good English because like I know all the grammar, I know all the words, and like I remember I just came here in like the first week, and then the girl's like extraordinary. It's like in our notes, and I'm supposed to spell it out, and then I spell it out because like I just know, and then she's like, "Oh my gosh, that's such a long word. You're so good at English." But that's kind of relevant. But coming to the US, like I thought that I would have like not like a huge problem with English, but I definitely did because I remember the first day, so I walked in and the whiteboard, because my teacher in fifth grade, he writes the schedule of the day like with cursive and like the actual like material for class and like not cursive. So I looked at that half of the whiteboard and I'm like, I don't know a single thing on that side of the whiteboard. So like I got like an English tutor and I started like learning cursive and all that, and like 1 week or whatever, in like 1 week I like started to like write cursive and stuff. And I remember when I first got here, we did this project Lead the Way, like PLTW. I think that's like a science project thing. And in China, it wasn't like a lot of like science education in the lower like primary education phase. It was only like math and like language arts and all that stuff. And science was kind of like a side elective class that's like not really focused on by like all the other teachers. So it was really hard for me when I first got here because they were like building a robot thing. I couldn't really remember, but it was like really hard understanding the language and just what they're doing in general. And I feel like I came across a language barrier mainly because like I got like an English tutor, and also I started like I read Charlie at the Chocolate Factory in Chinese before I moved. And after I moved, the first book I read was that book. And I literally used my phone to translate like every three words or something. And I like did the whole book and I'm like, my God, why is this book so hard? It's supposed to be like an easy book. And I just like try to like translate everything I knew at like whenever I see them. I just translated like everything I didn't know and like tried to like remember them and stuff. And gradually I remember, like I realized that my mindset is that from like when I see English, I will like automatically translate them into Chinese into like a mindset that like I don't translate them anymore. I just know like what it means in English. So that definitely is like a sign of me coming across that language barrier. But also a part of that is like the accent, because I thought I didn't have English accent, but after I moved, I realized I do. And I just started watching like videos and try to like imitate them at first and then like just repeat after them and like how they say it. And gradually I realized that like that becomes into like my English, and I like I don't have accents anymore.
Yeah, definitely. Learning a new language is hard. And you brought up a lot of good advice. So I want to kind of circle back to some of your points. So you brought up how, like, when you were reading a book, like you use like a translating app on your phone or something like that. So, yeah. So for people who might be going through the same thing, maybe you're studying abroad or like you have a similar experience to Allie, like you moved to a new country, like that's definitely a good tool that you can use because. Even though you might not have access to like a tutor, there's definitely a bunch of online resources that you can take advantage of. And then also you brought up how once you stopped like translating English words into Chinese in your mind, like that was a sign for you. Like I can definitely relate to you because my Mandarin is not that great. So every time I hear my mom speak, like I'm processing the words in English. So yeah, it's definitely a barrier and learning a language is like a process that takes like multiple years. And yeah, it takes a lot of hard work, but like it can be very rewarding at the end. And then also the accent thing that you brought up, like once like if you immerse yourself in an environment of like native speakers, I think like you can pick up on those like little things that can help you with that as well. So, oh yeah, and you also mentioned that sometimes when you heard English talking about like specific topics like robots or like science or something that you wouldn't really learn like in an English lesson that you had back in China. Yeah, I can like definitely understand that because for example, when I was in Spanish and we started like a unit specifically on like art and beauty. Like, it was very hard for me to understand because, like, I didn't have that previous knowledge. So yeah, that's definitely another obstacle. Okay, cool. I think now we can kind of do a little wrap-up question. I always ask my guests this, like, depending on whatever topic they're talking about, but, like, how has your experience being exposed to American culture and immigrating here, how has that shaped your identity?
I feel like personality-wise, I definitely became, like, more outgoing and then more talkative. I don't know if talkative is a good thing, but definitely more talkative than before. And identity-wise, like, it might be because that, like, I just grew up naturally older, but also that the experience of moving definitely made me more extrovert, as I said before, and I'm more willing to reach out for help instead of just, like, oh, I'm so scared. I'm like, I don't know how to do this. But I'm more willing to reach out to other people. And I definitely gained more perspective on different things in the world through, like, friends or, like, news in the U.S. or, like, just different things I've been exposed to. And after going through the process of immigrating, I would say that's, like, my biggest obstacle in my life so far. And, like, my college essays, I wrote about them too. But going through that experience, like, made me really know that, like, there's nothing really harder compared to, like, moving to a new country with new language and no one that you know lives there. That's, like, the biggest obstacle that I've came across. So, like, now when I see, like, oh, I don't want to take the test, like, those type of obstacles no longer, like, annoys me, like, worries me anymore, because I know that I've been through, like, a lot of, like, bigger things and more difficult things, and I can definitely come across those, not come across, I can definitely, like, overcome the barriers I see in front of me right now.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. And I'm so happy that you moved here because I got to meet you. And yeah, it's been really cool talking to you and, like, hearing about your experience. Just to end it off, is there any last minute advice that you would want to give someone who is also immigrating to the US?
I would just say don't be afraid to reach out to other people for help, and don't give up if you, like, feel that you're in, like, a constant spiral downwards that, like, you don't know what to do and, like, you're so afraid of just not being able to, like, read or write or, like, the new language. Just reach out to other people, participate in, like, work group activities, and find your friend group, and you'll be all set.
Perfect. Okay, cool. If you want to reach out to Allie, her information is in the description below. But that pretty much wraps up the episode. Thank you so much to you, Allie, again, for being here, for taking your time and giving advice. It was really fun getting to talk to you about this experience. And yeah, make sure to tune in next Wednesday for another study break episode. Talk soon. Bye.